This is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, and you are tuned in to the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, Poodle Radio. This is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. This is the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent, Poodle Radio. Thank you for tuning in, and I will give you the heads up right away. If you want to give us any feedback on the fly, the studio line is 805-893-2424. That's 893-2424 in the 805. And you can email me, Colin, C-O-L-I-N, at independent.com. I'm going to have my email open, so feel free to send suggestions, questions, comments, feedback, topics to address on the air, what have you. Studio line or email at Colin at independent.com. Got a good show for you today, including later a visit from the Mr. On the Beat himself, Barney Brantingham. But right now we've got Isabel Walker. She does a lot of things. She writes for The Independent, kind of like I do. She writes on health and issues of homelessness, and she has a new blog just recently established. It's called homelessinsb.org. Let's make sure the technical details are all set here. Isabel, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And I can hear you just fine on that mixing board. Hope the listeners can as well. Tell us a little bit more about yourself beyond what I just said. What's your background with homelessness, your interest in the issues of homelessness?
Well, let's see. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of background in the issues of homelessness, except that I'm a health writer, and I, in the context of writing about health, I became interested in matters of health access and people who were not being able to get services, basically. And that kind of segued into some stories about doctors who work on the street. And so I started covering a doctor who works out actually with a lot of students. Her name is Dr. Mimi Duin, and she has a program of street medicine. And I started following her around, and kind of one thing led to another. And I just found the whole subject controversial, and it had a lot of issues of humanity, and I found it interesting.
Now, with the actual issues of health as it relates to the homeless, we can only imagine. I mean, anybody can think, if you're homeless, you're going to be subject to any number of health issues. What are the challenges? What are the challenges that are most dominant in as far as the health of the homeless? I mean, what comes up for these doctors that work out there on the streets, or the what you write about even? What are the main problems?
Well, there's a lot of mental health issues in people who live on the streets, and addiction and co-occurring disorders. So, but beyond that, it's just health issues that don't get addressed, and people who aren't taking care of themselves and who are exposed to the elements. So they get pneumonia quite a bit, and they sleep on the streets, and they just... at risk for any number of infections, skin infections that can lead to other types of infections. And many of them have diabetes. And then there's, of course, they're at risk for violence and being, caught up in arguments and people basically stigmatizing them. And
Right. It is certainly, I think nobody would deny that it is a rough existence like that. Can you give us a picture of how much homelessness, first of all, even health issues aside, how much homelessness is there in Santa Barbara County? I mean, it's a visible thing in the city of Santa Barbara, where I live, but what's the overall picture like?
Well, it's very hard to count the numbers of homeless people in Santa Barbara County or anywhere. The number that gets thrown around a lot is 6,000 people are homeless in Santa Barbara County as a whole. And down in South County, it can be anywhere from 2 to 4 people. People go in and out of homelessness, so... some people are homeless only for a month, and then they're housed for a little while. And some homeless people actually are able to, when they get checks from the government, they're able to go into a hotel and stay in a hotel for 2 weeks out of the month or a week out of the month. So are they homeless when they're staying in a hotel? I don't know. There's a lot of different definitions of homeless. So there are a lot of people who are living in their car. And they're actually technically considered homeless, although and people who live in their RVs are considered homeless. But they do have a roof over their head, and their existence is completely different from people who don't live in a shelter or live on the streets. So
you're dealing with a number of different subcategories. There's the homeless somebody thinks of initially when the image comes right to mind of somebody literally living on the street, but then there's people with varying degrees of, sometimes they have a home, sometimes they kind of do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
I see. And so it's the 6,000 is a figure including all of that, or is that a conservative figure, or what's the composition of that?
I'm actually not exactly sure. That figure was basically found by the late Roger Heroux, who passed away. He was the executive director of the 10-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure exactly how he came up with it, but that's the one that people really go by.
Now, the new blog just founded, homelessnsb.org. We were talking earlier about how, off mic, about how you got interested in making this blog, about launching it during the mayoral race. And what issues did that bring to mind to you, hearing these discussions between the candidates about the homelessness and their effect on businesses and this sort of public opinion toward them?
Well, there are a lot of people very angry that there is a large homeless population in Santa Barbara County. People who run the motels in the Lower West Side, and so they were really actually trying to get the attention of the mayoral candidates, and they succeeded. And some of the tone of the arguments were kind of mean-spirited, and there was a lack of awareness and a lack of understanding among a degree of the population in the city. So that's what made me think that a blog would be a good idea, because just to kind of raise awareness of the complexity of the issue, that it's not just people who are hanging out and, trying to pass the time.
Tell me, I'm going to pull the blog up right here in the studio, but tell me the composition of the content of the blog. There's a lot, considering it was only founded, you said, on the 15th of April?
Yeah.
Yes, and there's a lot on there already. I was looking at it earlier. Now, what is give us an idea of what's already on there. Give the listener an idea of what they can find right now on homelessnsb.org.
Well, I have some news stories. The first story I posted was kind of a look at the 27 people who died last year in the South County. There's, you know, been a lot of discussion and stories written about all the homeless people who died in 2009, and I thought it would be interesting, you know, even for me, I was curious who these people were and what they died of and what their backgrounds were, how they became homeless. And so I started going to the coroner's division and pulling up their reports on the individuals. And it was a little tricky. I was not able to get coroner's reports on every single one of the 27, but I got enough. I got about 19. And then, of course, there's always, you know, you hear how people died, even though there isn't a coroner's report. Like, for example, right. Freedom, everybody knew Freedom died of hypothermia, but his coroner's report was not actually complete. So anyway, so that's on the blog. And, for example, also John Butney recently announced that he was going to be stepping down as executive director of the 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness. So I put a story on that.
Right.
And people are kind of worried and kind of not knowing what's going to happen when he steps down. And then I have my favorite part of the blog, of course, is when I get the homeless to write something
about
themselves. And that's a little tricky. It hasn't, it's just kind of getting off the ground. I'm just starting to find people who are willing to write. And some of their pieces are really good, like Ray Trower, who's started this Santa Barbara Community Street Voice newspaper. There's been two issues that he's put out. And he's been writing for me. He's written three pieces. So,
if you've just tuned in, this is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall, here with you, hosting as usual. And Isabel Walker has joined us in the studio. She writes about health and homeless issues for the Independent. She's got a new blog called homelessnsb.org. Going to talk about that more in just a moment, but now, break for a couple of PSAs.
Thursday, May 20th at 7:30 p.m., UCSB's Campbell Hall hosts Arts and Lectures presentation of North Face. Based on a true story, North Face is a riveting adventure drama about a competition to climb the most dangerous rock face in the Alps, the Eiger. In July of 1936, less than a year after the most recent and fatal attempt, two top German mountaineers, Tony Kurz and Andy Hinterseusser, take up the challenge to become the first to scale the so-called Murder Wall. For tickets and more information, visit www.artsandlectures.sa.ucsb.edu or call the box office at 805-893-3535. KCSB 91.9 FM is a media supporter of Arts and Lectures film series. On Monday, May 17th at 7:30 p.m., UCSB Arts and Lectures presents Collapse in Campbell Hall. The film tells the story of Michael Rupert, a former Los Angeles police officer turned independent reporter who predicted the current financial crisis at a time when most Wall Street and Washington analysts were still in denial. Director Chris Smith, who has shown an affinity for outsiders in films like American Movie and The Yes Men, brings Rupert's most passionate and sometimes alarming predictions to light in a riveting format that recalls the work of Errol Morris and Spalding Gray. For tickets and more information, visit www.artsandlectures.sa.ucsb.edu or call the box office at 805-893-3535. KCSB 91.9 FM is a media supporter of Arts and Lectures film series.
You're tuned into KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. This is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. We're back with Isabel Walker, who writes about health and homeless issues for The Independent, and we're talking about her new blog, just started the 15th of April. It's called homelessinsb.org. Now, you mentioned before, Isabel, and I should tell people that if they have any questions, comments, feedback, or anything to suggest to talk about, they can email me at colin@independent.com, and I'll see that. It'll pop up. Or they can call the studio line at 805-893-2424. That's 893-2424 in the 805. You mentioned the homeless themselves, homeless people, have written for this blog and are writing for it. What's the story there?
Well, you know, there are different stories for every person. Let's see. Raymond has written about an experience he had with the County Alcohol, Drug, and Mental Health Services program. They have a CARES program that specifically is directed towards people who are homeless. And he approached them for services. I guess before he came out to Santa Barbara, he was in Tennessee or something, he was taking medication for some mental something, I don't know. And he went off of it, and he felt that he needed to go back on the medication. And so he approached somebody who was working at the shelter from the CARES program and said, you know, I have a diagnosed mental health issue and I really need medication. And anyway, so then they set him up with someone, and the people who he ultimately saw were dismissive of him and said, no, you don't really need this. You aren't diagnosed. And so he felt really, and actually he felt he was kind of treated badly by them and made to feel a little inferior and like he was just trying to game the system. So he was ticked off and feeling that he was his issues were just kind of snowballing, and that he was going to end up having kind of some big meltdown that he called the rage. So he wrote about the rage and how it's coming. And so so that was one piece that was kind of interesting, I thought.
Yeah, you mentioned the prevalence of sort of creative skills and writing skills among the homeless that you've communicated with about this. And so explain to our listener, what's the connection there?
Well, I don't really know. I'm not an expert on this, but I know.
Hazard a guess, I suppose. We'll say this is completely speculation, but it's interesting speculation.
Well, I think that people who've had a hard time and have been really kind of shunted around by life and, you know, ended up on the rocks somewhere, you know, kind of have a lot more to write about, and who I guess they're kind of harboring some injuries or psychic injuries. I think they have access to some part of their psyche that can lead to, you know, creativity. And so anyway, but what I was mentioning to you before is that I've met a number of people who are either currently homeless or have been homeless in the past who are poets.
Yes,
and they,
that's interesting.
Yeah, they've submitted a number of poems. I have two on the site, and I have about 10 waiting to be posted when I get the correct format. And some of them are really good. There's a poet named, he's a writer named Wayne Myers. And actually, he has a blog at The Independent on homelessness. And I'm forgetting the name of it right now. But he is a wonderful poet.
I want to get an idea as well, aside from posting poems with the right formatting, what are your goals for homelessnsb.org? What do you envision this blog as becoming, sort of ideally, as featuring, as informing people of? What do you want for this blog?
Well, I'd like it to be a place where people can come to read about the homeless crisis in Santa Barbara and learn who these individuals are who end up either in transitional housing or on the street or in a shelter, and hopefully in the process discover that they are not what's sometimes called slackers and lackers, that they're ordinary people who've sometimes they have health issues, sometimes they have mental health issues. But I guess I want to somehow reduce the stigma of homelessness and raise awareness and educate people. Educate people is what I'm trying to do. I'd like the blog to be a meeting place for the community to discuss the homeless crisis, to learn about it and talk about it. So that's what I'd like it to be.
And in this journey, you are, as you mentioned to me before, looking for other writers as well. Who are you looking for to help with this? What sort of people?
Well, my goal is to post every other day some sort of a news story or opinion piece, and So it's going to be hard to kind of keep that up on my own. So I'm looking for people who want to write, who are, you know, aspiring journalists or full-fledged journalists who have an interest in this issue, who like to go out and kind of talk about things. Like I heard there's a rumor now that the McDonald's on State Street is not allowing, is not serving homeless people anymore, not letting them on the premises. And I that's a total rumor. I have not checked that out in the slightest.
Right.
I plan to do that either today or tomorrow. But that's a perfect example. So anyway, if anybody who's listening likes to write and who has a heart for the underserved, give me a call, or you can send me an email through the website, through the blog.
And do you have an email address you can give out here right now, just so people get it in their mind?
Yeah, well, I have an email. It's isabelnsb@yahoo.com.
And the blog, once again, is homelessnsb.org. Isabel Walker, thanks so much for taking the time to come on Poodle Radio this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Colin. Thanks
once again, this is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. My name is Colin Marshall. We've got more on the way, including a talk with our man on the beat himself. So stay tuned for that. And now, for some more PSAs, because we know how much you love those.
On Thursday, May 13th at 8 p.m., Santa Barbara New Music Series presents Vinnie Golia's Friday Night Band live at Muddy Waters Cafe in Santa Barbara. The Los Angeles-based electric funk free jazz band will be joined by local Gypsy Math rockers Oso. Muddy Waters Cafe is located at 508 East Haley Street in Santa Barbara. For more information, visit www.coulterfraser.com/SB New Music Series. Once again, that's Vinnie Golia's Friday Night Band live at Muddy Waters Cafe on Thursday, May 13th at 8 p.m.
Hey there, Santa Barbara. Tuesday night got you down? Well, SBDIY presents another show at the Bico. Tuesday, May 18th. We will be joined by the Finches from Los Angeles, Katie Davidson of Dear Nora, and Lloyd Michael, and our very own sibling duo, Watercolor Paintings. The Bico Garage is located at 6612 Sueño Road in Isla Vista. The show will be running from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. And as always, the shows are all ages. For more information, visit www.sbdiy.org.
I believe that if people in the United States could see Iraqi people and hear what they had to say and hear how they feel and see their children, that this type of thing just simply wouldn't be possible.
Today's technology provides a remarkable ability to connect with people worldwide. On Sunday, May 9th, the Center for Middle East Studies hosts a Dialogue for Peace, a live video conference with Iraqi university students. The video conference will be preceded by a showing of the documentary film, The Road to Fallujah, as well as a discussion with filmmaker Mark Manning. There is a 10-hour time difference between Baghdad and Santa Barbara, and the late hour of the event is necessary so that we can connect with the students in Baghdad at 9 p.m. their time. These students must leave their university campus by midday so that they can pass through numerous checkpoints and reach home before evening curfew. This event is also the launch of a major project by filmmaker Mark Manning's nonprofit organization Global Access Media entitled A Dialogue for Peace, the Iraq Peace and Reconciliation College Tour, which will start at UCSB and move on to Stanford the following week. Each event will feature direct discussions between American and Iraqi university students and will be filmed for webcast. The film, Road to Fallujah, will be shown at 9 p.m. and last about 1 hour. There will be a discussion led by filmmaker Mark Manning, followed by a short break and a brief informational meeting before the connection goes live at 11 p.m. For more information, visit the Center for Middle East Studies website at www.cmes.ucsb.edu/events.
This is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. You've tuned in to Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. And I'll remind you, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, suggestions as we go, because of course the show is 100% live, you can send that along to Colin, C-O-L-I-N, at independent.com. I'll see it. Your feedback will pop up as we're going, or you can call into the studio line at 805-893-2424. That is 805-893-2424. Right now we are joined by the Independence man on the beat himself, Barney Brantingham. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks very much. It's great to be on Poodle Radio once more.
Yes, you were on in the old days when we were on the AM station and I wasn't even here, right?
The old days, what, two years ago or something?
Exactly, yes, the ancient history in terms of this show. But you have an interesting segue from the last segment we did with Isabel Walker and homelessnsb.org, in that you have your eye on a story about the homeless as well. What is that?
Well, L.A. Times columnist Steve Lopez, he was wandering outside the Times a few years ago, went to Pershing Square, and he noticed this homeless man playing a violin with only two strings. He was curious, the way a columnist should be, started talking to him, learned that he had, and when he was young, he had been quite a musical, I wouldn't say genius, but a greatly talented guy. He went to Ohio State, played at the Aspen Music Festival, got a scholarship to the Juilliard School of Music in New York, prestigious. Then something happened to him, as things happen to us in life. He developed schizophrenia. So his musical career went down the tubes. He found himself living on the street, and he found himself eventually leaving Ohio and getting to L.A. And here's a talented guy living on the streets. He had learned on the cello, and then he switched to violin because he couldn't get the cello in his cart.
Oh, my.
And eating at a mission shelter. So Steve started writing about him, doing columns about him, and then developing into the whole homeless, mentally ill homeless problem.
Right.
Society's problem. And pretty soon he got a lot of attention. Steve ended up writing a book called The Soloist. And then in last year, it became a movie. The Soloist, and now, well, Steve is coming to Santa Barbara. He's going to be honored next Friday, a week from this week, by the Mental Health Association of Santa Barbara County as a hero, a man who's focused attention on this man, Nathaniel Ayers. And so this has been a few years. Whatever happened to Nathaniel Ayers?
Oh, good question.
People are going to want to know, and I'm writing about it on Thursday.
Oh, interesting.
Turns out he's doing very well. Mm. He now has an apartment to live in at a mental health center. He has 15 musical instruments that he loves playing. He's not trained on all of them. He's got flutes, he's got horns, he's got his violin. And he's out every day playing his musical instruments. Great therapy, according to Steve, who I talked to just yesesterday. He's a happy man. He still has, naturally, his problems, but they're
right.
Being dealt with at the mental health center. So it is an interesting story. And now, what do we do about mental health homelessness?
Hmm.
Well, Steve has interviewed a professor who helped set up Norway's program. This guy said homelessness is banned in Norway. You can't be homeless.
That's an interesting idea, banning of homelessness.
They don't let you be homeless in Norway. So what would Nathaniel, what would he be doing there? Well, he would, of course, have a place to live. He'd be connected to a mental health center. He'd be under a doctor's care. A nurse would visit him. There'd be an aide who'd come around to make sure that he was able to manage his life, needed help. So that's how Norway and Scandinavian countries take care of their situation. In our country, well, we don't do a very good job, as you can see wandering the streets of Santa Barbara.
It is interesting to see the contrast between the way a small country, a country of 20, 30, 40 million people handles this sort of thing versus a country of 300 million people. It seems to be a lot more difficult. Or did you talk to Steve about the differences in the obstacles that may exist here that may not exist there? Or what's your perception of how it's different here in America or Santa Barbara versus how it is elsewhere?
Well, Australia, among countries, is way ahead of us, according to Steve. The Scandinavian countries have long been progressive in social issues, joblessness, health, many, many ways. And it's, yeah, they're small, more homogeneous. But there's an attitude there that we haven't developed yet. We could learn from them. It's you're talking money to devote to this situation, but we don't have the will. Maybe we're developing it. And through Steve's columns, he's focused attention on this whole situation in a way that it's hard to do with just straight news stories. He found this man on the street, was interested enough, curious enough to talk to him and learn from him. So it's a way of focusing, like, and I shouldn't compare it to Anne Frank, but she personified much of the evils of the Nazi regime. Well, Nathaniel personifies the problems. A talented person who, through no fault of his own, was living on the streets.
You mentioned that Steve saw this fellow, Nathaniel, that with the sort of the curiosity that a columnist should have, you say. And now I imagine that's something that just resonates with you a lot, because that's been what anybody who's read your columns in The Independent is going to see that you do have to keep your own curiosity going, keep your eye on what's going on in Santa Barbara, what's going on around. I mean, certainly you've had the homelessness here catch your own curiosity more than once, I would imagine.
Yes, you need to keep that. You can't lose that interest. And I'm a local columnist. Yeah. Why don't you write about Obama and the Middle East problems and so forth? Well, you can get that every day on television, radio, national newspapers, but they don't give you Santa Barbara. And I feel that's my job.
I want to give an idea as well to the listener. Now, your column, certainly encountered it, because it's there in The Independent. You've been writing for The Independent since 2006, correct?
Right.
After your time at the news press. And everybody in town has probably read it at least once, if they can read. But I don't know if they could. They will say it's about Santa Barbara. They'll say that you're a guy who observes Santa Barbara. Is there any way to describe it more specifically than that? Or is it simply what engages your curiosity about Santa Barbara? That's what you're going to write about.
You've hit it. Mm. Whatever seems to be the topic, because my column runs every Thursday, and I turn it in on Tuesday. And then, I've turned it in, which I haven't done yet today. It's this column about Steve is about 3/4 of the way done.
Plenty of time.
Let's hope. But you then, I've turned it in. I press the button. It goes to Martha at The Independent. Immediately, I have to start thinking about next week.
Right.
I can't wait till next Tuesday, or at least I don't want to. And so I start looking around. What do I want to write about? Should it be you don't find the Nathaniel errors every day. Maybe I should. Maybe they're there. But that's part of the story. I know a lot of the homeless, some of them, and there's a story. Everyone has a story. Every person in the United States has a story. Mm. But what is a story? Is it serious? I mean, I write about the DA's race, about very serious things. Sometimes I write about myself.
Right.
And so I don't have any set motif. Whatever it seems to be. If I find it interesting, I hope the readers are going to find it interesting, at least some of them.
If you've just tuned in, this is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. My name is Colin Marshall. I'm here in the studio with Barney Brantigam, the author of the On the Beat column every week in the Santa Barbara Independent. And you do additional stuff online, right? It's not just once a week in the Independent. You have other online installments of this?
I write travel. Mm-hmm. With my wife, Sue. She's a photographer. So I do travel online. And I do other things if there's something that's happening of immediate interest that can't wait till
right.
Thursday. I get on the line and because, you know, the Independent's website is full of news. I think a lot of people are learning that we try to be as topical or more topical than anyone.
Right, exactly. And of course, one of the topics you mentioned just recently and one we discussed quite a bit on Poodle Radio last week, but to get another perspective on the DA's race. Now, this is something you're observing as well. What are your impressions of how this has been going so far, this sort of heated political contest?
Well, I've been covering the news here for 50 years, mm-hmm. and I've never, ever seen anything like this kind of a race in the DA's office.
Wow.
Split the office because you have two experienced prosecutors. You've got a couple of people who really know what they're doing, and Joyce Dudley and Josh Lynn,
yeah.
And they're going at it, well, I shouldn't say tooth and nail, but it's quite a battle. And I don't think anyone knows who's ahead.
Yeah. It's everybody has a different opinion, certainly, and it's hard to say.
Because they're, in a way, they're evenly matched. You can't say one is horrible, most horrible prosecutor in the world would ruin the office. They both have their advocates, and so they're struggling for endorsements, including the endorsement of the Independent, which has not been out yet.
Right.
So to them, that's very important. So it is quite an interesting struggle that I've never seen before.
And it's interesting that, do you mean in 50 years there hasn't been, specifically for this race, this sort of conflict, or just the kind of political conflict you haven't seen much of in Santa Barbara at all in the whole 50 years?
Oh, I've seen a lot of battles, but in the DA's office, it's never been that way. You haven't had two members of the of the staff going at it, and you've had campaigns, of course, but mostly it's an outsider wanting to run against. Maybe there's no incumbent, and it's never been this nasty.
This is, once again, Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. I'm Colin Marshall. We're going to take a break with a couple of PSAs. We'll be back with Barney Brantigam, the man on the beat in the Independent every Thursday and more often on the website as well.
Are you stressed out? Do you wake up on the wrong side of the bed every day? You should do some yoga. Release those mental knots. Be one with the universe. Be one with yourself. Be one with everyone around you. Bring that spiritual side out. Feel free, not closed in this box. The universe is yours.
On April 24th, KCSB aired the two lectures by the Dalai Lama at UC Santa Barbara. If you're hearing about this now, you may have missed the broadcast, but no worries. It's available as a podcast from the KCSB website, www.kcsb.org. That's kcsb.org on the web, the site for all sorts of interesting information about this station.
Thursday, May 20th at 7:30 p.m., UCSB's Campbell Hall hosts Arts and Lectures presentation of North Face. Based on a true story, North Face is a riveting adventure drama about a competition to climb the most dangerous rock face in the Alps, the Eiger. In July of 1936, less than a year after the most recent and fatal attempt, two top German mountaineers, Tony Kurz and Andy Hinterseusser, take up the challenge to become the first to scale the so-called murder wall. For tickets and more information, visit www.artsandlectures.sa.ucsb.edu. or call the box office at 805-893-3535. KCSB 91.9 FM is a media supporter of Arts and Lectures film series.
This is KCSB 91.9 FM Santa Barbara with your weekly concert bulletin. On Saturday, May 8th, Libero Santa Barbara hosts Christian McBride for an 8 p.m. show, and Club Mercy presents hip-hop recording artist Wiz Khalifa live at Velvet Jones for an all-age show. On Sunday, May 9th, Soho Santa Barbara hosts Charlie Hunter, and on Tuesday, May 11th, Soho will host The White Buffalo. On Wednesday, May 12th, Club Mercy presents Dawes at Soho Santa Barbara for an all-age show. And on Thursday, Club Mercy presents Midnight, also at Soho, but this time for a 21 and over only show. On Friday, May 14th at 9 p.m., Velvet Jones will host a hip-hop performance by Evidence, a DJ performance by Oh No, and more. On Saturday, May 15th, Club Mercy presents Mexican Institute of Sound at Soho at 9 p.m. for a 21 and over only show. And on Sunday, May 16th at 7 p.m., Numbskull Shows presents Dredge at Velvet Jones Santa Barbara for an all-age show. Once again, this is KCSB 91.9 FM Santa Barbara with your weekly concert bulletin. For more information on any of these concerts, visit the website at www.kcsb.org.
I believe that if people in the United States could see Iraqi people and hear what they had to say and hear how they feel and see their children, that this type of thing just simply wouldn't be possible.
Today's technology provides a remarkable ability to connect with people worldwide. On Sunday, May 9th, the Center for Middle East Studies hosts a Dialogue for Peace, a live video conference with Iraqi university students. The video conference will be preceded by a showing of the documentary film, The Road to Fallujah, as well as a discussion with filmmaker Mark Manning. There is a 10-hour time difference between Baghdad and Santa Barbara, and the late hour of the event is necessary so that we can connect with the students in Baghdad at 9 p.m. their time. These students must leave their university campus by midday so that they can pass through numerous checkpoints and reach home before evening curfew. This event is also the launch of a major project by filmmaker Mark Manning's nonprofit organization Global Access Media entitled A Dialogue for Peace, the Iraq Peace and Reconciliation College Tour, which will start at UCSB and move on to Stanford the following week. Each event will feature direct discussions between American and Iraqi university students and will be filmed for webcast. The film, Road to Fallujah, will be shown at 9 p.m. and last about 1 hour. There will be a discussion led by filmmaker Mark Manning, followed by a short break and a brief informational meeting before the connection goes live at 11 p.m. For more information, visit the Center for Middle East Studies website at www.cmes.ucsb.edu/events.
It is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. This is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. We're here with the man on the beat, Barney Brantingham, talking about the DA's race and other fun stuff. If you have any opinions, questions, comments, feedback, anything of that sort, send it along to my email address, Colin, C-O-L-I-N, at independent.com, and I'll see it here in the studio, because we're, of course, live. Or give us a call on the studio line, 805-893-2424. That is 893-2424. Now, Barney, the DA's race, this is a bit of an ugly situation, then. Hard to decide who to favor.
Well, each one of them, Joyce Dudley and Josh Lynn, have their advocates and their endorsements, and they're piling up on both sides. Both of them have a lot of people who believe in them, and the jury's out. I have no idea who's ahead, behind. We may not know until the June election, but this is the highest law enforcement agency in the country, and it's important. Highly important, which in a way it's beyond ability and experience. It comes down in some ways to temperament.
Right.
Is this the right temperament? Can this person run the office? Especially, it's an office that's divided right now. The attorneys have lined up on both sides. One for Joyce, one for Lynn. But it's always been kind of felt like a family. It's been an office that's been very close. After the election, can they come back together? Will some leave? There's a feeling that they will. Whoever wins will bring them together again. They're professionals.
Right.
They feel very strongly about being professionals. Yes, we can do this. We have a duty to enforce the law, to prosecute. And I think that they will come together, and it'll be a little bit of a transition. But right now it's split.
Hmm. And as a columnist through whose words a lot of people perceive Santa Barbara, you know, you're kind of the eyes and ears for some parts of Santa Barbara people don't pay firsthand attention to. When you're watching a race like this, seeing the sort of scene around it unfold, well, what are the challenges of that? Then communicating to the public sort of what your impressions are of a situation like this. I mean, maybe it's the same as for any sort of political race around here or any kind of news story you write about. But this specific one, there's enough, I don't know if confusion is the word to it, but there's a lot to be conveyed about exactly what's different this time.
Well, I leave the news coverage to our news reporters.
Yes.
And I don't favor either candidate in my column. I don't want to. Although, after the first debate between the two at the library, the charges and countercharges were flying so fast that, you know, I wrote, what's the public going to think about this? Are they going to think that neither one of them should be elected because of all these charges? And since then, they backed down. The last debates have been quieter. In fact, they've stopped having debates. They've had a session at the library where each had a chance to speak their piece, because I think there was a feeling that we're professionals. We should not be slinging mud.
Right. Ideally, you know, you would hope.
But it is an election campaign, and they're both taking it very seriously. There are charges about illegal signs. Why is a DA candidate knowingly putting up illegal signs? I'm not saying who's accused of doing it, but that's out there too. But I'm watching it, and I haven't written about it in the last few weeks, but I did sort of speak up and say, hey, what are you guys doing? can you imagine what the public is thinking about this?
Oh, my, yes. In a certain sense, you do have to be not the public's voice necessarily, but you do have to call attention to these kind of things because, of course, you said you're not a news reporter, but you have to. What do you consider to be... when the time comes, you have to say something like, hey, you know, listen, the public might be having a fairly low opinion of what's going on here, candidates. What do you think is your responsibility to get out there as far as, since it's not exactly news, it's not coverage of a specific thing? What do you try to convey to Santa Barbara through your column in that sense?
Well, there are times when someone has to say something.
Hmm.
And sometimes I feel I've got to speak about this. I don't always, every column is not some lecture about good government, but sometimes you have to, I feel, speak out. Now,
right.
It's been a year or two, the previous DA, Christy Stanley, was very ill with lung cancer. And she wasn't coming to the office. And finally, Nick Welsh, our other columnist, wrote about that fact, because it was not revealed to the public.
Right.
And in the office, you know, she hadn't been coming in. And here's an office that you can't have a vacuum. You need a DA in charge. And so I wrote about it. I interviewed her. It was hard to do, but I got her on the phone and threw questions at her. She said that she was in remission and she was going to run for office, which took a lot of us by surprise because we thought, well, if she's home in bed and sick and not coming to the office, how can she run for a new term?
But exactly.
She was optimistic. So I felt it was my job to cast a light on this and let the public know what is happening here, because the office was concerned that she wasn't coming to work. They had, after the tea fire, it was a long lapse before the DA's office decided whether to file charges, who to charge. It was a long lapse there that it was people wondered. So there are times when, I've got to say something about this situation, any situation.
Now, is that a feeling you get sort of inside, or is that something people actually tell you? It's like, Barney, you have to write about this. I imagine you get plenty of suggestions about how to use the platform you have.
It's sort of a gut feeling. Hmm. I don't have a lot of people, hey, you've got to weigh in on this subject. You got to do this. I'd like to have that because it gives me clues about what's the public is thinking.
Right.
But sometimes just a gut feeling that someone's got to say something about this.
I want to get an idea of, because we were talking off mic earlier about how, I've only been in Santa Barbara myself about 7 years. You've logged a good 50 years here. And what, given sort of this perspective on this town and on this county, what can you tell us about, whether we're talking about politics or some sort of heated office race or really anything, even, the more lighthearted stuff, what do you get the impression that Santa Barbara really cares about? What is special to hear that gives you a sort of a star to steer by as far as what you talk about and what you write about in your column?
Well, remember, Santa Barbara County is really two counties. I mean, it's the South Coast and then that other county north of the mountains.
Right.
Very, very different. It's like California. Coast has one set of philosophies and politics. The inland, another. Santa Barbara County is that same way. So, well, we narrow it down to this little strip of land here. What is Santa Barbara? Well, we're isolated. We're from the rest of the world, the county, or the state of California. We're different. Exactly, you'd have to add up everything. The university makes us different. We have a lot of extremely wealthy people. We have a pretty liberal electorate. We have people who want to be green. We have an educated society. And fortunately, we're isolated or insulated from a lot of the urban ills that go on around us. We're kind of introspective. We focus on small issues sometimes, like speed bumps and curb bulbs, and you can win an election on stuff like that.
Wow!
But we're always trying to do the right thing. What is the right thing? So it's a interesting community, and probably I don't know if there are any in the country quite like Santa Barbara.
And one that, given your task, one that talking to, you have to really get used to a lot of things about it. I mean, the fact that you can win an election on these tiny issues, or the fact that there's that divide you mentioned, that both of those must shape the way that, I mean, maybe it's even unconscious at this point, but they must shape the way that the voice you use when you're writing a column, just the way the concerns are. I can imagine it's something that by this point is ingrained in the way you do things. But do you step back occasionally and think about that? Like, well, maybe Santa Barbara is a place I need to occasionally remind of its own qualities, because maybe we forget them.
For sure. And my column, I don't know if I could write it anywhere else.
Mm.
Miami, I don't know if I could write about Cuba the way I have.
Right.
And Nebraska, would the column fly in other places? I don't know. I was born in Chicago, grew up there, went to school there. And, of course, there was the great Mike Ryko, one of the great columnists of our time, but he was a Chicago guy. He was tough beer-drinking, softball-playing guy who was tough on the mayor. It was a corrupt city. Here, I think I've written, that's nice not to be corrupt, but we don't quite realize there's an outside world there that it's tough and mean, and they steal, and it's pretty horrible. Here, we're just, I wouldn't say namby-pamby, but where are the issues? Where's Mayor Daley? I don't have a Mayor Daley to kick around.
Oh, yeah. As Santa Barbara, we've got to be reminded of the Chicagos of the world, We've got to know our place by knowing what it's like in some of these other cities, It's more corrupt in some places. It's sort of bigger, and there's more problems in some places. We focus on the small things a lot here because we have those.
Yeah, we're lucky. We don't have to worry about riots. We worry about how high buildings should be and how many roundabouts that we're going to have to deal with.
Exactly. Well, looks like, it's 8:56. Barney, thanks for taking the time to come on Poodle Radio this week.
Thanks for having me on.
This has been Poodle Radio. I've been Colin Marshall. It's the, once again, program of the Santa Barbara Independent. You can catch us every Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. You can send emails with feedback, questions, comments to colin@independent.com or give the studio line a call at 805-893-2424. And of course, I co-produce this show with Independent Senior Editor Matt Kettman, so a hat tip to him as always. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.